very much. Had something else prepared tonight. The Lord changed my mind. I want to be sensitive to Him. Amen. I want to follow His leadership. And just thinking along these lines here and how the Lord just lays on my heart different things. Mark chapter 4 tonight. Mark chapter 4. It's a message that many of you have heard before. And again, I was going to conclude that message that I began on Wednesday night, but the Lord has changed direction. And I think it's okay for the Lord to tell His preacher what to do, right? And I'm sensing the Lord leading in this, asking God to touch this as we are seeking the Lord. I have a lot of sermons back in my office, and I had this particular message that He put on my heart just a few minutes ago when you saw me get up and go out. And wouldn't you know, it was laying on top of my sermons back there. I'm talking about at least one of the stacks I had. It was right on top. And the Lord just saying, yes, this is right, son. Just keep going, keep going. I'm preaching to you on this subject tonight. Mark chapter 4, look at verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. There were also with Him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? He arose, rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased, there was a great calm. He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? I want to preach to you tonight on this subject. Again, some of you have heard this. And it may be a repeat, but the Lord's leading me in this. I want to preach to you on the subject of an unexpected storm. An unexpected storm. The Lord used that song you chose tonight, Brother Gary. As I was thinking about it, it'll be worth it all when we see Christ, see the Lord. In a church this size, there are different storms of all sizes, all shapes, all forms. There are storms that are unexpected and storms that are not. There are storms that you know and storms you have no idea is getting ready to hit your life. But tonight, I'm preaching on this unexpected storm in the life of these disciples. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. Help me as the best I know how. I'm following Your will. And I pray that You'll help me to ever be a preacher that's sensitive to the will of God. And I pray You'll take this thought and use it. You deal with somebody who You're trying to deal with tonight. Deal with me. Deal with all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. When you come to this story in the gospel according to Mark, it's also found in Matthew 8 and Luke chapter 8. It's important for you to understand that the disciples at this time in their life were doing the will of God. They were not outside of the will of God. They were inside the will of God. They were obeying the Lord's commands. Because I remind you, it was God that told them to get on board this ship. It was the Lord Jesus who told them, let us go over to the other side. But understand this, as they followed Him, this storm came. And may I say this to you, the Lord knew the storm was coming. But they did not. The only thing they had was a clear command, get on board and let's go over to the other side. They had no idea that when they were on board that ship, that a storm was going to hit them and threaten their life. I call it an unexpected storm. May I say this to you, following Christ will not prevent storms from coming. Amen or not tonight. Just because you're right with God does not mean that your life is a bed of roses. And just because you're right with God does not mean that storms are not going to beat against you every now and then. Well, I want to ask you this question. Has a storm ever hit you that you never saw coming? Has something ever hit you that was unexpected? Something that you'd never dream in a million years would ever happen, but here it comes. The Lord, for some reason, has changed my message to this thought tonight. Maybe you're that reason. I don't know. I want to give you several things here tonight. First of all, let's study the storm. What is the storm? Let me give you several things about it. Just two things here. Look at verse number 37. We get two things about this storm. First of all, it was a big storm. Look at the language in verse number 37 where the Bible says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." This word "great" here, in other words, it was a great storm. It was great wind. When you look that up, it means it was big in size and it was big in strength. It wasn't something small that hit them. It was a huge thing that came to their ship that night. It was massive. It was a great storm. It was a big storm in its size and in its strength. In other words, it had the strength to take them out of this world. That's what it carries. You know what I've noticed in my own life? I've noticed that maybe your troubles don't seem that big, but mine are humongous. And everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about. Has anything ever hit you, and when you look at the size of it and the strength of it, it is humongous? It's gigantic. It's a great storm of wind. It's a big storm. Number two, it's a beating storm. We see this in verse number 37 where it says, "And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." When you look that word "beat" up there, in today's terminology, that means it was beating the daylights out of the ship. That's what it means. It means that it was pounding against this ship. I mean, it was pounding it, beating it, beating it over and over. The waves crashing over and over and over and beating it this way and beating it that way and beating it this way. And hey, the storm was a big one. It was a beating one. Number two, let's notice the ship. The storm is a picture of what you're going through. The ship is you. You are the ship. Let me give you two things about it in verse number 37, same verse of Scripture. First of all, it was full. Notice this, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." You know what that word "full" means? It means it could not take anymore. It means that it couldn't take another drop of this. It had all it could stand. Question, you ever been there? Are you there tonight? Are you going through something? There's a big storm raging. It's a beating storm beating up against you, and now you're full where you can't take anymore. I mean, here it is. I just can't take any more of this storm. Not only was it full, number two, it was flooding. We see this in Matthew chapter 8. You don't need to turn to it, but the parallel account there, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8 that during this storm, that the Bible, right here, the Bible says that the ship was now covered. That's what it says. That's the King James word. It was now covered. You know what that word "covered" means? It means it was engulfed. You know what it means? It means that if you were up above it looking down on it, you could not see the ship. That's what it means. It means that if you're on the ship and you're looking up, all you see is water. That's what it means. It means everywhere they looked, to the left, to the right, to the front, to the back, down and up, all they saw was water. That's it. It was flooding. It was full, but it did not stop. It just kept on pouring, kept on coming, kept on beating, kept on being big. I mean, it just kept on coming. That's the ship. Number three, we notice the sailors. We've noticed the storm, big and beating. We've noticed the ship, full and flooding. We notice the sailors, first of all, scared. Look at verse 38. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They thought they were going to die. Now, some of you all have probably been in a situation before, whether it be fighting for our country or whether it be an accident at work or something like that, where you probably thought you were going to die. Matter of fact, how many of you all have ever been in a situation like that where you thought you were going to die? Yes, yes. Scary, isn't it? Now, God gives you peace, but it doesn't remove the temporary fright, if you will, maybe. These men were scared. They thought that this storm is it. This is going to kill me. Fear had taken the place of faith. And to remind you who we're talking about, we're not talking about men who are weak in faith. We're talking about the mighty disciples. The disciples, yes, they were weak in faith at moments, but I'm saying, may I say this to you? I kind of get tired of people belittling Peter. Now, I've probably been guilty of that too. He denied the Lord 3 times. We'll get to that in the book of John, more than likely, and all these kind of things. And boy, he was sinking in water, you know, but at least he walked on it for a few steps. Amen. May I say this to you? I'm glad God's not going to compare me to Peter. You know, we hear this about Paul. I'm adding Peter to my list. I don't want to be compared to Peter. We're talking about Peter, these mighty disciples, and they go to God and they say, "Don't you care? We're dying out here." They're scared. Number two, they're skeptical. That means they're doubting. What are they doubting? In that same verse, verse 38, they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" You know what they were skeptical about? God's love. You know what they were skeptical about? God's care for them. Can you imagine one of God's creatures facing God and saying, "Don't you care about me?" That doesn't even sound right, does it? Does it to you? I mean, for God's creature that he's already proven how much he cares for us, that they go to him and wake him up and say, "Master, don't you even care that we're dying up here?" They're skeptical. They're doubting. They're disbelieving. They had witnessed repeated proofs of his love, repeated proofs of his concern, but all was forgotten during this time of present danger. You know, it is possible, now get this, it is possible to forsake all for Christ's sake. That's what these disciples did. It's possible to forsake all for Christ's sake and yet occasionally be overtaken with doubt and fear. Anything ever hit you and it caused you to doubt? Anything ever hit you and it caused you to fear, to be scared and skeptical? Now let me paint this picture, because I'm coming to my last point here. Hang on now. We're noticing the unexpected storm. This storm that Jesus knew all about, Jesus knew what he was going to do. The disciples had no idea about it. It was unexpected in their life. And yet when it hit, it was a big storm. It was humongous. It was gigantic in size and strength. It was a beating storm. It was beating up against their ship, just pounding it, pounding it, pounding it, until now the ship is full. It couldn't take anymore. But I'm talking about the water just kept coming and kept flooding and kept covering. And they're scared and they run to him and they're skeptical. "What are you doing? Don't you care that we're dying out here?" Now let me give you the message. And that message is number four, the Savior. Now we see this in verses 38 to 41. Let me give you several things about him that is true even during a time of unexpected storms. Number one, we see his presence. This is found in verse 38. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Now get this. Was there a big storm beating the ship? Yes. Was it beating the daylights out of it? Yes. Was it full? Yes. Was it still coming? Yes. Were they scared? Yes. Were they doubting? Yes. But praise God, the Bible says he was on board that ship with them. And let me say this to you tonight. When he's on board, that boat will not go down. Amen. Even though the boat was full, it was flooding, everywhere they looked there was water, his presence was on board. He seemed unconcerned. Talking about somebody who's a sound sleeper, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it was beating and flooding. He was sleeping on a waterbed that night, I guess you could say. He's asleep. But I'm glad that when they came to him, even though they came questioning him and they came doubting him and they came afraid for their own life. All of those are sin. Doubt is sin. Questioning God's a sin. Fear is sin. All of that's against God. And yet, through all of that, when they came to him, listen to me, friends, they didn't come to him in faith. They came to him questioning him. They came to him doubting him. They came to him afraid and fearing for their life and questioning his care about them. But you know what he did? Even though they came to him like that, he still responded to their call. He got up and he's getting ready to do something wonderful. The ship with Christ on board may be beaten, but it will not sink. Now, if you don't leave with anything else but that statement, that's worth you coming tonight. Your ship may be beaten, but if Christ is on board your life, you will not sink. Everybody has storms, but having him on board is what makes the difference. His presence. Number two, his power. We see this in verse 39. Notice this. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea. Wait a minute. He spoke to the sea? I didn't know the sea had ears. Did you? They don't have ears through us. But they have ears when God talks. Amen. And notice what he said. Peace. Be still. Wouldn't you love to have been there just for that part of this story? Amen. I wouldn't want to have been there when scared for my life. Water coming. I'm not talking about that. Hey, wouldn't it have been great to be scared? And I'm talking about at this moment, see him rise from sleep. Go out and rebuke the wind. I don't know how he did it, but just rebuke the wind. Let this sink in, friends. And speak to the sea. Peace. Be still. And the Bible says that the wind ceased, verse 39, and there was a great calm. You know what the phrase peace be still means? It means be silent. Be dumb. Be muzzled. Be gagged. That's what he's saying to the sea. Stop. You know, ordinarily back in this day, it took a while for the water to settle. Talking about when a storm was raging, it just wasn't storming, peace. You see what I'm saying? It took a while for it to die down. But when you study this out, you'll notice that when he spoke peace, it was sudden. Imagine that. Here it is. It's coming. It's flooding. It's beating. It's pounding. The Son of God steps up right in the middle of the storm. Rebukes the wind. Peace be still. And immediately, complete calm. You know what I see there? I see his power. Psalm 89:9, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Psalm 93, verse 4, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Now, I am not preaching tonight that if you come to him, even in doubt and in fear, if you come to him, that he's going to speak peace to your trouble and that he's going to stop your trouble. I'm not saying he's going to stop your trouble, but he can speak peace to your troubled heart. You don't have to be beaten all inside, even though the outside's being beaten to death. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You know, one of the greatest things God does for his children, he gives them peace. He gives them peace in the middle of storms. You ever had a storm hit your life? Maybe it scared you. Maybe it made you skeptical and those doubting thoughts come up. You didn't want them, but you started questioning and all these kind of, does God not even care about me? Hey, you know the greatest thing you can do, even while you're doubting and while you're afraid, which is against God, go to God anyway. Amen. That's what they did. They were scared. They were skeptical. They thought they were going to die. They didn't go to him in faith. They went to him in fear. But at least they went to him, you see.
And when they went to him, he got up, he responded, he rebuked the wind, he spoke peace to the sea. We see his power. Number three, I see his problem. Verse number 40. Now this is after he spoke peace to the sea, rebuked the wind, he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Boy, that cuts me. That cuts me. He had a problem with them. And his problem with them was they were doubting him and fearing the storm. Get this now. When they knew his word, let us pass over to the other side. What did Jesus tell them? He said, get on board, let us go to the other side. Are you listening? As soon as he said, we're going to the other side, that was enough. Let come what may, somehow, some way, that ship with them and him was going to make it safer to the other side. Because he said it would. But in this time, in the middle of the journey, between here and there, there's a storm that comes and it's beating them. It's big. They're full. They're flooded. They're scared. They're skeptical. They go to him in spite of all that and they lay their burden out to him. Don't you care that we perish? He responds to them in love and mercy and grace, gets up, rebukes the wind, speaks to the sea, peace be still, there's great calm. And he turns to them and said, why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith? Faith in what? Faith in him. Faith in his word. We notice his presence is on board. His power can calm it. His problem is believe him, not the storm. Number four, we see his praise. Look at verse 41. And they feared exceedingly. Let me ask you a question. Were they fearing earlier in this story? Yes, what were they fearful of? The storm. Verse 41, they're still fearing, but not the storm any longer. And said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Doesn't that bless your heart? The storm, get this now. This is really the message. The storm, when the wind stopped and the waves calmed and there was peace, the storm in the end gave the Lord all the glory. The fear once given to the storm was now given to Jesus. Do you understand that? Do you understand that trouble is often the only fire which will burn away the dross that clings to our hearts? Now, nobody in here likes troubles. Nobody would say, Lord, give me some trouble, would you please? Nobody likes troubles. But how many times have I heard this dear man of God right here say something along these lines, that some of the greatest times of revival in his life were the times when he found out he had cancer. And for 25 days, right, preacher? 25 days with the chuck wagon gang, I know, right? God gave you revival. May I say this to you, when my mom and dad had an unexpected storm hit both of them within the space of less than a year, so to speak. Unexpected, bang, bang, both of them. They're here tonight, they're doing well. Thank the Lord for that. Pray for mama's blood pressure. It needs to come down. And no, that doesn't have to do with having me as a son. It has to do with my brother. You understand what I'm saying? But can I say this to you? During those times when my mom and dad were hit with an unexpected storm, it was some of the worst days and some of the best days of my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's some of the worst days because that's my mom and dad. But some of the best times and the peace and the help that God was during those times.
I've told this story before. I'm going to tell it again. So if you know it, just don't complain about it, all right? I've told the story about a Bible study group. This is somewhere around the country or somewhere like this. They were studying the passage of Scripture in Malachi chapter 3 that talks about God sitting as a refiner of silver. It says He sits, He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. That's what the Bible says, Malachi 3:3. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. When they read that, they didn't know what it meant. What does that mean? What is God saying about Himself? So one of them knew of a silver refiner or a purifier of silver that worked close to them. So she said, this week I'll go and I'll watch him work and I'll talk to him and try to find out what God's trying to teach us here. So she did, and she went and watched him do his job, and she noticed him and how he kept his eyes on the silver. And after he was done, whatever, she went up to him and she must have told him about their Bible study or something. And she said, would you tell me about your work? How do you purify silver? How do you refine silver? So he said this. He said, what I do is I'm the one that takes the silver and I put it in the flame. And I watch it the whole time. I never take my eyes off of it. Because he said, I'm watching for a minute time, just a specific time when I know it is pure, it's been purified, it's been refined, and it's time to take it out of the fire. Well, the natural question was from this lady, when is that time? How do you know when it's time to take it out of the fire? And he said, I know it's time to take it out of the fire when I look at it in the fire and I can see myself in it. When I see a reflection of me in that silver, and when I look at that silver, I don't see the silver, I see me, I see my face, then I know it's time to take it out. Wow. God said in Malachi 3:3, I sit as a refiner of silver. I sit as a purifier of silver. That means when you're in the fire, whether He puts you there or not, if you're His child, there's never a time that He's not watching you. And He's looking to see Himself. He knew about this storm. He did not tell His disciples about it, but He knew what He was going to do through it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. There's several things that my wife and I, in comparison to what you precious folks have gone through, we've not gone through hardly anything, but one specific thing, and again, this is a repeat story, and as long as I'm here, I'll just keep repeating myself, I guess. Many of you have heard this story, but it applies here. When I was on a mission trip with our teenagers in St. Louis, my wife stayed behind. She was expecting at that time, I think it was our second child. I may have that wrong, but I think it was our second child. So I went on this mission trip. She wasn't very far along, just 8 to 10 weeks or something like that. On the last night of that meeting, we had probably upstairs, the teenagers and so on were downstairs doing a VBS, and I go with them sometimes to do a revival for the church people. We do family crusades, and I was preaching to the adults. And in that particular last meeting there, I think there was probably about 20 adults who were in that church service. We had 7, if my memory serves me correct, walk the aisle that night to trust Christ as their Savior. It was amazing. Almost half the crowd, a third to half the crowd, responded to the gospel to trust Christ. We had a great service, great service. After the service, I called my wife, and I began to share with her the goodness of God and how God had met with us, and she began to cry. On the other end of the phone, she's here, I'm 11 hours away. She began to cry and she said, I prayed for your meetings. I prayed that God would give you a great service. but I want you to know I lost the baby today. She wasn't very far along, but it still cut her heart out of her chest. She was crying, she was weeping, but here's what she said. Now, you know at that time I wanted to crawl through the phone. Right, men? I want to crawl through the phone and grab my wife and hold her and love on her and all these kind of things. But I couldn't. I was 11 hours away. She said, I want you to know I lost the baby. But she said, I feel like there's 10,000 angels in the room with me. She said, God's presence is so real. You realize that God could have waited for her to lose that baby until I was here and she could lean on me? But God allowed her to use it to lose the baby unexpectedly when her husband could not grab her and love on her. She had a choice to make. Would she get mad and bitter, turn her faith against God? Or would she trust? And when she trusted, God came through for her. On the other side of it, that trip to India, going back to India in January, she shared with me, I know she doesn't mind me sharing this with you. I had no idea that when I left how she struggled. She thought her husband wasn't coming home. And her faith was wavering. She wrote about it on this last song, song number 2. The newest CD, song number 2. Her battle with faith. She was struggling, questioning. But God became so real to her during that time that she wrote a song saying, you never let me fall further than my knees. She was questioning, she was doubting. So have I. Guilty. You ever questioned? You ever doubted? You ever thought to yourself, is this real? Is all this real? You know, when you doubt, when you have an unexpected storm. But here's an interesting thing about my beautiful wife, inside and out. Even while she was doubting, she was still praying to God. She's doing the same thing the disciples did here. You know what God did? He loved her. He helped her. Gave her peace. And now that song, God willing, is blessing people that God gave her during the time when she doubted. He has the power to calm your storm, give you rest. Now I'm just about done. What storm's beating up against you tonight? What storm is causing your ship to be full and flooding? It just keeps coming. What storm has got you scared, skeptical? Might be a financial sickness. Excuse me, a financial trouble or a personal sickness. Might be a family sickness, a wayward child. Whatever it is. My message to you tonight is call out to Him for rest. Get this. It was not the disciples' decision for Jesus to calm the storm. That was the Lord's decision. And may I say this to you? Even if He did not rebuke the wind and calm the waves and speak peace to the sea, even if He did not do that, that ship was still going to make it safe to the other side. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I am not preaching that you go to Him and He's going to speak peace to your troubled sea. He's going to calm it. The wind's going to stop blowing. I'm talking about the waves going to stop. I'm not saying that, but I am saying this. If He wants to, He can speak peace to that and it'll stop. But if He chooses not to speak peace to the troubled waters and to the winds blowing boisterous and all that, if you have Him on board, friends, you're fine. You're fine. His word is as true today as it always has been. He's waiting for you to come and wake Him up. reminded of the story, and I'm coming to a close here. This little girl, I shared this in Sunday school. She was, I think she was 6 years old or something like that. She was just a little girl. She was scared at night. Her and her mama was staying, you know, obviously together. And the husband was gone that particular night. I don't know if it was business or he was gone. And it was the mother and the daughter. They were home alone. The daughter got scared that night, and she was scared of the dark. And her mother was even a little bit scared and, you know, a little nervous that night. They turned the lights out, and they're in the room together. And the little girl looked outside of her window, and she saw the moon shining. And she said, "Mama, is that God's light?" You can imagine her saying this. "Is that God's light?" Mother said, "Yes, that's God's light." She said, "Mama, is God going to turn his light out and go to sleep like we do?" Mother said this. She said, "No, sweetheart, God's light never goes out. He never sleeps." Here's what that little girl said. Well, if God's going to be up all night, no sense in both of us be, right, Mom? Oh, let that bless your heart. God is going to see you through. I don't know if you're the one that God has this for tonight or not. But if you're sitting there tonight and you say, "Boy, I tell you one thing, I'm sure glad God changed his heart and he preached this." If you're thinking that tonight, don't thank your pastor. That's God loving on you. He changed your pastor's heart so he'd preach directly to you tonight. And may I say this about this message? If you don't need it tonight, praise God. But you better remember it. Because if you tarry and God gives you life, you're going to catch yourself full, flooded, scared, and skeptical one of these days with a big beating storm beating up against you. What are you going to do? Don't jump ship. Stay on board. Because King Jesus is on board with you. And may the Lord add his blessing to this. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Have me tonight say, "Jody, this message, God had you change your message for me." Have you know that's true tonight? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. God had you change your message for me. If you got your hand raised, I'd like you to lower it and look at me. Would you do that? It's a lot of you. A lot of you. If you say, "God had you change your message for me," they're going to begin to play through softly here momentarily. Let me just say to you, I don't necessarily know what you're going through. I may know what some of you are, or I may not know one of you, the ones that are looking at me. But you know, it doesn't really matter what I know or don't know. It matters what the Lord knows. Is he on board in your life? Have you trusted him? Then trust his presence, trust his power. Hear his problem. Don't believe the storm over me. See his praise that when all is said and done, this storm that's beating you, making you full and flooded, scared and skeptical, can be the very storm that'll bring him praise when all is said and done. Maybe you're the silver in the fire. He has his eye on you. He's waiting to see himself. Why don't you get out of your place and come pray? Come now. Would you do that? Come on, come pray. Come talk to God. You say, "I need this tonight. I need this message. God had you change it for me." Come on. Come on. There's people responding. Keep coming. Come on. Hey, don't ever be too ashamed to respond. Don't ever be too ashamed to respond to a message that God is dealing with you. Come on, come talk to God. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, he's not on board. Would you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. A man with a man, a lady with a lady, come now. We'll help you. We'll help you. We'll encourage you. point you to Jesus. Come now. Come now. Sing that first verse, Brother Gary, shall we?
Far away
in the
depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
What verse is that? What song is that, Brother Gary?
113.
You're seated. I'd like you to turn to that 113. God is dealing with people. God is helping people tonight. We give Him praise. This is a great, great song. It's one of my favorites. I love this song. Let's sing these verses. We'll sing them as our closing prayer. Can we do that? Let's sing all of them, asking God to help us and help us to meditate on this. Verse number 2. Let's sing it together, shall we?
What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
And Brother Gary will sing this third.
I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul.
Sing it with us now.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
I feel God on this song. I feel the presence of the Lord on this song. Only God can give you peace. Right. Only God can speak peace to your heart. Only God, only God, only God. This fourth verse is a great verse. Think about it as you sing it, and methinks when I rise to that seat of peace, where the author of peace I shall see. That's a great thing, isn't it? Let's sing these last two and we'll be done. Nobody else comes. The altar's still open. Let's sing them together.
And methinks when I rise to that city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see, that one strain of the song which the ransomed will sing in that heavenly kingdom shall be. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows.
My voice is struggling. Let's keep going. Sing it last.
Ah, soul, are you here without comfort or rest? Marching down the rough pathway of time. Make Jesus your friend ere the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept.
Let's all stand. We'll have the instruments drop out. Let's sing this as our closing prayer.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In
dismissed. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight.
Remember, Ken.